Turn, if you will, in your Bible to Acts chapter 13. We have looked at the book of Acts, just kind of going through it so that you can familiarize yourself with things. This is the third division, I believe, in the book. In Acts 1, verse 8, God said, "Ye shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and uttermost parts of the world." Well, we saw the witnesses in Jerusalem. In chapters 1 through 7, we looked at the witnesses in Jerusalem. And then we talked about the witnesses in Judea in chapters 8 through 12 in Samaria. And we studied about God's witnesses, how the gospel has just spread. Tonight, we're going to start the third division to the uttermost parts of the world. Many of you told me already that you enjoyed Zach's message this morning. I guess Rhonda and I are blessed to have a family over there too. We enjoy hearing from him. It's always special this time of the year, knowing that the Lottie Moon Christmas offering goes to help our foreign missionaries, not only him, but all thousands of them. I think we have 5,000-something missionaries overseas spreading the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And somebody's asked me, what does he do over there? Well, all I know is he preaches the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Everywhere he goes, he's able to teach students. You see a little bit. He told this morning in their city, they're praying because the government's coming down hard on the witnessing there. They're not allowed to meet openly and no more than so many to a bunch. And when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in that foreign country there, then you're persecuted. You can be thrown into jail. I think he mentioned a little bit about that. They're visiting the jails. Well, you know, we see God's word spreading, and we heard Peter and the message and Paul, the message. Now, God is not under obligation. You know, the gospel message spread. Peter spread it, and Paul spread it to Asia, and went on over to Europe and in the United States of America. And we've had the churches here growing and the Holy Spirit with us for many, many years. But God is under no obligation to remain in any particular place. And I'm afraid if we look around at America today, God will move from America. I'm glad he came, and I'm glad the Holy Spirit and the churches are here. And I'm glad we still have missionaries all around the world. But we have so many in Africa and Asia and over in Syria and those places where literally they can be executed. Well, Paul and Barnabas went out of the church at Antioch, and they began to go and preach the gospel. And Paul and Saul had been anointed in 12, and now it says, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. And they begin to go out and spread the gospel, folks. Now, Paul had 3 points. I've often heard Baptists, and I've said this myself. Someone said, "Are you sure you're a preacher?" And I said, "I got 3 points in a bowl. Do you want to hear them?" Well, usually, Baptists had 3 points in a poem. Man, I listened to a lot of preachers, and a lot of them have 3 points. Some of them every once in a while have two, and every once in a while we have four. Well, Paul had 3 points in chapter 13. Look down at verse 16. I think here's one he mentions here. Then Paul stood up and motioned with his hands and said, "Men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen." He's beginning to preach, folks. The God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an uplifted arm, he brought them out of it. Now for a time of about 40 years, he put up with their ways in the wilderness. Now, I got tickled when I read about that. 40 years he put up with their ways in the wilderness. In other words, they probably gave the Lord a hard time through that wilderness wandering. You know the experiences they had. Well, in 16 down through 25, you will find that Paul gives in school we had the New Testament survey and we had the Old Testament survey. And in these verses of Scripture, I'm not going to read them all, but in these verses of Scripture, you find what I call the Old Testament survey. And the Old Testament survey, Paul starts back with God's promise of salvation. And this salvation he has promised in the Lord Jesus Christ, who at this time of the year we celebrate his birth. You see, it's Jesus Christ who makes the Old Testament understandable. If you were to read the Old Testament and you didn't hear about Jesus Christ, you would begin to wonder. But as you study we talked about a little bit about the veil being split in the old and the tabernacle this morning. Everything about the tabernacle, if you look at the tabernacle, was a promise to Jesus Christ. Everything about it. In verse 17, God literally talks about the wilderness wandering or the Exodus or the children getting out of Egypt there, leaving the land of Egypt, bringing the children of Israel out of that land. And while in Egypt, you know what God told them? He said, while you're here, I want you to kill a lamb. And we have the Passover, don't we? He said, I want you to sprinkle the blood on the doorpost. And when the death angel comes to the land of Egypt, guess what? Those that have come in under the blood, those that have come in under the doorpost are by faith, put the blood on the doorpost, that death angel will pass over that house. And of course, we know that you and I know Jesus Christ was that lamb that was slain, don't we? He was that lamb that was slain. So the Old Testament is pointing to Jesus Christ. He says, Jesus Christ takes away the sins of the world. And we are saved by coming in under the blood of Jesus Christ. Now that's what Paul preached. And that's exactly what Zach preaches. He simply tells the people there in China about the story of Jesus Christ. He's told me many times, he said, you can't get out on the street and preach, but you can teach. And he's allowed to teach in the classrooms. And when he teaches, he a lot of times teaches the stories of the children of Israel. That's what he's there for. And you can't make them, what he has to do is say, now, here's the story. And our God said that the children were to sprinkle blood over the doorpost. And he said, now what do you think about that? You see? And ask them and get them involved in that. And through that, talks about Jesus Christ and shares with them about Jesus Christ. Of course, we know that's the gospel, the same gospel that we preach over and over every Sunday. You see, all we do is preach about Jesus Christ. We preach about Jesus Christ and his love. We preach about, we just heard Go Tell It on the Mountain. I love that old song. I love the way y'all jazz it up there. It's really nice. But and if you go down in Scripture, in verse 18, Paul preached about the wilderness, how God put up with the children in the wilderness and about the wilderness response. Now, when I think about the wilderness, the first thing I think about is the children, and we got to see the wilderness in Israel. Let me tell you, it is a really wilderness. When I think about the wilderness, I think about the poisonous snake. And I think about the plague that God sent poisonous snakes into the camp, and the children of Israel were bitten. And I think about, when I read that story, I think about what they had to do to be saved, see? By faith, they had to, Moses put up a bronze serpent, and he said, now, when you're bitten, if you will look at that serpent, you'll be healed. And folks, that's silly, isn't it? You think about that. That's kind of silly. If I was a lost person and somebody said, now, okay, when a snake comes along and bites you, you just go out there and you look at that bronze serpent on that pole and you'll be healed. Well, I can see right now someone getting bitten by that bronze serpent and thinking about that for a while and say, you know, I don't believe that. I'm not going to look at that bronze serpent. And the next thing you know, he dies. Well, that's the same thing we do. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. And the Word of God says we are bitten by a thing called sin. We have a problem. We have a sin problem. And that disease in sin is killing us just as sure as that snake bite would kill someone. It poisons our body just like the snakes poison our body. And if we do not have a cure for that sin, then we're going to die just as sure as that person would die that didn't look at the bronze serpent. He would die. Just as sure we will die in our sins and spend an eternity lost. A Christless eternity lost. But Jesus says, I came and I died upon the cross. And if you will look at the cross, you will look at Jesus Christ and you will ask him to forgive you. You shall be saved. The man who's bitten by the snake, Moses says, when you're bitten by the snake, if you will look at the snake, you'll be healed. Now, that might sound silly to some people, but can you imagine the people that said, you know, I've been bitten by a snake. I don't know how to do anything else. I believe what Moses said is true, and I'm going to look at the serpent. They crawl out there in the tent, and they look at that serpent, and instantly they're healed. Don't you know that they rejoiced in the camp? Don't you know the children of those parents rejoiced? Don't you know the parents of those children rejoiced when they saw their children healed from that snake bite? The Bible says the angels in heaven rejoice when one of God's children are saved. You see, God doesn't want us to spend an eternity lost. And that's the gospel message, that God will save us if we'll just look to Jesus by faith. It has to be by faith. It can't be by our works. There's nothing good in me. There's nothing good in you. The Bible says all have sinned. But if we just look at Jesus Christ, then we shall be saved. When I read that word, I'm reminded of all the venom that I see today in today's society. The ugliness that sin causes in today's society is out there. We need that healing in our lives. We need that healing in our churches. We need that healing in our families today. And if we'll just look to Jesus Christ, the Bible says we will be healed. Verse 19, look at verse 19. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land to them by allotment. Now, what we have here is Paul is preaching, and he starts with the wilderness. Well, he starts with an Egyptian being led out of Egypt. Then he goes into the wilderness. Now, they're going into a land of Canaan. And he says they have destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan. You know what I think? When I think of that story, I think about Jericho. I don't know about you, but when I was just a little child in Sunday school, I learned about Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho. Y'all know that song? You know that song? Come up here and sing it for me. No, I'm just kidding. I know Brother Jay knows it. I've heard him sing down here in the Bible studies. They know those songs. But you know, when I think about the battle of Jericho, I think about how God promised the children that land. I think about the land he has promised to them, and the Bible says it's a land literally flowing with milk and honey. It was a land of plenty. But when I think of the battle, I think even though God promised them the land of plenty and the land of Canaan, I see that they had to do battle. And when I think of Jesus Christ And I think of the Christian life, folks, I think of Jericho, we also have to do battle. Every day, I believe the Word of God tells us to put on the whole armor of God. Amen? I mean the whole armor. You can't leave off the helmet. You can't leave off the breastplate. You can't leave off the belt. You can't leave off the shoes. You got to have it all, don't you? Because literally, when God promised them the land of Canaan, He did promise it to them, and they would go in and conquer it. But every step of the way, they had to do battle. You know what? I believe we have salvation because of Calvary, folks. And because God went to Calvary for us, we already have the victory. When God promised them Canaan, they were sure of the victory. God was going to give it to them, but they had to put their faith in Him. Well, we are assured of heaven. We are assured. I know in my heart I'm going to heaven. I know there's a heaven. I know there's a place prepared for me. I've seen the witness of the Holy Spirit so many times in other believers' life, how He's changed those circumstances in their life. But you know what? Even though we have the victory, life is still a struggle down here, isn't it? We'll struggle every morning. And every morning, how do we win the war? We have to look to Jesus. We have to look to Jesus every single time. And that's the gospel message. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You see, I have nothing to preach. You have nothing to preach and teach but Jesus Christ. And Paul says, teach of the salvation that has been promised. So when you go out and give your testimony, you remember those things. You just start with the Old Testament and you tell how the Old Testament points people to Jesus Christ. Every step of it. Not only that, Paul preached, not only salvation is promised, he says salvation is provided. Look at verse 26. Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent. You see, Paul points out that Jesus Christ has provided salvation. And he says, Jesus Christ has provided salvation by His death on the cross. But not only His death on the cross, He goes on and says about the resurrection. Look at verse 28. And though they found no cause for death in Jesus Christ, they asked Pilate that He should be put to death. Now, when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning Him, they took Him down from the tree and laid Him in a tomb. Now, I want you to notice something. When they had, in verse 29, when they had fulfilled all that was written of Him. Have you ever thought about the life of Jesus Christ? Everything was written ahead of time. His life was fulfilled, and His life was there ahead of time, all predicted ahead of time. Now think about it. Jesus knew He was going to die. He knew He would go to a cross. He knew He would face that death. He knew that all that had been predicted, the Heavenly Father had predicted, the Old Testament had predicted, must come to pass. It wasn't a surprise to Him. Man, I've heard people say, well, preacher, do you think Jesus was surprised that they chose Barabbas over Him? That didn't surprise Him. He knew ahead of time they were going to. He knew because He had to go to the cross. He had to pay the price for sin. You see, they wanted Him to be a king. And He said, no, I can't be your earthly king. I'm going to the cross. They didn't understand that. They said, no, Lord, you're not going to the cross. We're going to, everyone, fight for you. We're going to die for you, but you're not going to the cross. And He said, listen, I'm going to the cross. Paul says he was buried in a tomb, but God raised him from the dead. You see, he wasn't worried about death. And that's the victory of salvation, folks, that we have in Christ Jesus. God raised him up from the dead so that you and I can also have eternal life, so that you and I will also be raised up. I don't have to worry about death. You don't have to worry about death. In Christ Jesus, we're already as good as with him right now. We have been crucified with Christ, the Bible says. Our God reigns today. Our God is alive today. And we sing that song, because he lives, we have everlasting. We live too. So God says salvation is promised. That's Paul's first point. Salvation, his second point, is salvation is provided in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then turn, if you will, in your Bibles over to verse 44. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. Paul says, listen, your salvation has been promised. Your salvation has been provided through Jesus Christ. Now, the word of God is also presented. What will salvation do for you? Well, they left that preaching service, went home, and the next Sabbath day, the Bible says, almost the whole town came together. Folks, I believe they had a revival there in that city. The whole town came back. Man, I don't know about you, we can't even get the whole church to come back. Amen or oh me. We need to get the whole church to come back. I don't know why people ask God to bless them, but they won't come and ask God to do it here in church. You see, we need to give our lives, literally give our lives to the Lord, and that means every possible time that we can spend in his word and in his church doing his business, that's what we ought to be doing. Telling somebody about Jesus. He got their interest when he started talking about the children of Israel. You know, the history of the children of Israel, I'm sure they understood that. And I'm sure they said, yeah, you know, God blessed our forefathers. God blessed them tremendously. And he worked all the way down, and he talked about Jericho, and he talked about, you know, they were thinking, man, you know how much God has blessed our forefathers. God led us through those battles and did all of that. Now he says, you know, you crucified him. You hung him on a cross. That which was presented in the Old Testament, that which was pointed to by the Old Testament, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you didn't understand him, and you hung him on the cross. Now that got their attention. They were so interested that they came back the next Sunday. They wanted to find out about salvation. They wanted to find out, I believe, about eternal life. And he says, salvation is not only promised in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, it is also provided through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is also presented, and here's what's involved. You see, he told them how to be saved. Look at verse 38. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man, who's he talking about? Jesus Christ, is preached to you the forgiveness of sin. He said, listen, through Jesus Christ, you who crucified him can be forgiven. Now, folks, let me tell you something. That's what every one of us need, don't we? People today are up to their neck in guilt. They're drowning in guilt. And what they want is to be forgiven. And Jesus Christ offers that forgiveness. Salvation means that we can be forgiven of our sins. Now, there's a lot of things that we do today that we try to overcome our sins. The Bible says a fool makes a mockery of sin. And some try just, well, it's just a little sin. And they kind of push those sins away. Some try to avoid a sin in their life, but they find out you can't avoid sin. It's just there. We're living in it. You can try to ignore sin. I hate to hear people cussing. That just seems to turn me off. And a lot of times when someone's cussing, I just try to ignore what they're saying. But you know, you can't ignore those words, can you? As long as you got ears to hear. The only thing you can do is confront sin in your life. At judgment, we'll be confronted. We will have to face our sin. You can't ignore it. You can't try to overcome it yourself. You can't laugh at it. I've heard people laugh at things that are sinful. Try to bury their sins. But let me tell you, that guilt just keeps pulling it up to you, doesn't it? Have you ever tried to forget something that you've done in the past that was sinful? The old devil continues to remind you of it, don't it? It just keeps coming up. So what do? The Bible says salvation is when you come to the Lord and He forgives your sin. Ask Him. The Bible says if we confess, that's agreeing with God. If we pray and say, Lord, I have sinned against you. I love that chapter in Psalms where David comes before God and says, Lord, I have sinned against you and you only. My bones wax old and I'm grieved night and day with this thing called sin. Man, he's tried everything. He said, have mercy on me, O God. Wash me, cleanse me from my iniquities. Only God can forgive sins. Forgive means to send them away. He will remove them, the Bible says, and wash you white as snow. Folks, that's not all. Look at verse 39. Verse 39, and it says, and by him, everyone who believes is justified. We talked about justification this morning. From all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. You see, the law of Moses, they thought if they could just keep the law of Moses, if they could honor God, if they could obey God, if they could not take his name in vain, if they could live a pure life, if they could honor their father and mother, you know, if they could do all of the Ten Commandments, surely they'd be all right. And he says everything that the law of Moses couldn't do, Jesus Christ can do. Forgiveness simply means God can remove all your sins. Justification by God means that he restores you into that right relationship, that fellowship with him. You find favor once again with God. And the truth of the matter is, none of us are perfect, are we? None of us are worthy of that salvation. It's only through Jesus Christ that we are worthy, that we are justified. And justified means God declares you righteous through the righteousness on the basis of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the message Paul preached. Now, I want to leave you with some scriptures here. Romans 3:24. We are justified freely, the Bible says, by his grace. Grace is unmerited favor. You see, somebody said it's God's riches at Christ's expense. We don't deserve it, but God gives it to us. Romans 5:9, justification is procured by the blood of Jesus Christ. It says, much more then, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Jesus Christ. And then Romans 3:28, justification is possessed by faith. We have to put our faith in Jesus Christ without any deeds of the law. Going to church won't get you into heaven. They thought, well, if I can keep the Sabbath day holy, I'll be all right. So they didn't go anywhere. They just sit down. They didn't want to move. They didn't want to make any effort to do anything on the Sabbath day. That does not make you righteous. If you come to Christ, he says, God will restore you to his favor. And God will save you and make you his child. And he will give you a reason and a purpose for living. People today, they're so miserable, I believe, because they don't have a purpose in life. They just kind of wander aimlessly through life. No sense of purpose. So many people feel down on themselves because, what I got to live for, preacher? Another day? In Christ, we've got a purpose. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Tell people about Jesus Christ. Go everywhere you go. Tell the gospel. If you do that, you'll be a success. God will bless your life. You will not feel unworthy anymore because you're doing what God has told you to do. Have you ever thought about that? By refusing the provision that God has given you, you feel unworthy. You have no purpose. You have no reason. You have no hope. And I believe we see such people with evil minds and evil thoughts today. They just do not feel worthy of living. And they want to take all the people they can and make them just as miserable as they are. But folks, if we give people, I love that little Chinese girl this morning that gave her testimony. I hope you could read those lines as fast as they were up there. I was trying to read them, and I'd already read them once. But she said she found purpose and things in God. And folks, that's a blessing to know that God came to her life, and we have a part in that. That's what Christ is all about. Paul says, God has provided a way. God has the promise that he will see it through. And God has the provision of Jesus Christ. Go, tell it to all the world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you tonight for these that have come. And God, as we've kind of looked at chapter 13, Lord, it challenges us to tell people about your love and how you so much loved us. God, I pray that we'll go this week and just share that love with everyone we come in contact with. And we give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.